Oh, and they'll have works, they'll say. And I believe it too, that when one truly believes, that the works will follow. But the fact is that many who come down the aisle and come to the altar and they make that moment of truth do not bring forth fruit. And it's because the gospel they preach is not a gospel that makes people ready to bring forth fruit. They're sowing the wrong seed. They sow a seed that couldn't grow in good ground. Into springing up into eternal life, that's for sure. But the true word of God can enter into someone's heart, and they will receive it with joy. But because they don't really take it to heart, their faith does not go very deep. It's something that, that you heard they had faith. They made a show of faith, but it did not really get in there. I think everyone has to agree with me that when someone doesn't really believe in their heart, and their faith is in vain. And they could even think they believe in their heart. They might just be kidding themselves. I've thought this about myself at times. Because to me, faith can be a bit of a struggle. It's not easy for me to believe at times. I have to work at it. It's something that's not... I believe I have enough faith that's always carried me through. I've never been able to let go of it. You know, and to me that says, I have it. But at times I felt like I hung on by a hair, that all that tethered me to my faith was but a hair, and that I was barely hanging on. On the other hand, though, I felt like that hair was stronger than steel, because I couldn't break it. It was always like a chain holding me. So I definitely feel the bonds of Christ in that I can't give it up. But I fear lest a promise being left, that I should seem to come short of entering into his rest. I want to use diligence to make my calling and election sure. That's what this is about, is that this person never does any of those things. They never add to their faith. They never add to their faith. You know, they don't add faith to faith. They don't continue in the faith. They don't add virtue to their faith. They don't add knowledge to their faith. They don't add anything to their faith. And a lot of times, like I said, these gospels they're preaching today say, faith without works is salvation. When the Bible says faith without works is dead. Salvation is by grace through faith. Faith is not salvation. Grace brings salvation. Through faith. So faith is very important to salvation. But you got to understand the order is that grace is first. Because grace represents God's activity towards us. His mercy towards us in letting us hear his word. And then letting us be receptive to the word. Because you think about it in the world over history. How few people have even heard the gospel? And then among all those that heard, how few are really able to allow it to penetrate into their hearts? How many people have heard the gospel and it's gone by the wayside? How many have heard the gospel and it's gone on stony ground? How many have heard the gospel and it fell among thorns? Oh, America. The thorns represent the cares and riches and pleasures of life. This is the most insidious of all. Because I tell you, you can plant a good plant among thorns. And let's say you start with a clear set of ground. It can look like good ground. But there's all kinds of things ready to spring up. All kinds of thorny, sticky things. They're going to grow up with their broad leaves and smush your little plant. And they are the broad leaves of pleasures. The broad leaves of just the cares. I got to make my car payment, got to make my mortgage payment. I've got to buy, I've got to sell. I've got to eat, I've got to drink. I've got to go here, I've got to go there. I've got a dentist appointment. I've got a work meeting. I've got this, I've got that. And I've got no time for God. I've got no time for Jesus Christ. I've got no time for the gospel. I've got no time for faith. I've got no time to pray. Praying, no time. Reading the Bible, no time. Studying the Bible, no time. I'm not ignorant that since I started doing these Bible studies that very few people even listen to them. At times, I wonder, why do I do them? For one, I do them because I have to. Because God has given me to do this. But I have my core audience. And Jesus had his core audience too. And to them he said, to you it is given to understand. And I say to you who listen to me, to you it is given to understand. Now I marvel at the ignorance and darkness that is out there in the denominations. And at times, I am almost at a loss. Because as people have said to me, oh, you think you're the one. You think you're the guy who knows everything. I do not think that at all. I certainly don't know everything. I certainly do believe that I have purged out a lot of leaven in my understanding of the scriptures. And I will yet seek to purge out even more. And I'm always hyper-vigilant for that. That's why I don't get into too much stuff. And I try to, you know, the stuff about Mary Magdalene, my point in that was to, like, get the leaven out. Forget about that stuff. Look, it says she had seven devils. Isn't that enough for you? What else you gotta know? Why are you picking on her? But even though I don't think I am the guy who knows everything, it's unsettling to me to consider all the great denominations and the great teachers, and I see all the darkness. It's very intimidating to me. Because I don't have an education. I don't have any credentials. I don't have anything. I have nothing. I'm a nobody, nothing. I am an absolute non-entity. And here I am saying everything out there is a big mess and it's all full of darkness and wrong. You know, the denominations, it's full of leaven. It's false doctrine. It's false teaching. And yeah, of course, people look at that and they say, well, you think you know everything. You think you're the one. It's only what's been revealed to me. Meaning the understanding I've been given as a person leads me on this particular path. I've received these truths, and I'm sure there are others who understand things exactly like I do. The Spirit of God would testify to them, and they'd understand it just as I understand it. Maybe not with the precisely same gift, but with some other gift. And if they hear my gift, it's going to resonate with what they know. And it's going to resonate with the Spirit of God in them. And there's going to be a resonance. And we're going to be on the same frequency. And they're going to hear me as a brother. And they're going to enjoy that fellowship we have in Christ. But I can only follow that which I'm given to follow by God. To me, it is given to understand things this way. Just like to them, it was not given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it was given to them to understand things in a certain way. Just like it's given to some people to pursue the things of God. And to other people, it's given to pursue money. And they have lots of money. And they enjoy money. And they have a great money-filled life. And they have the reward. And they think they're the one because they make so much money. And they have so much money.